God. And it happened.
Ladies and gentlemen, God. Welcome to the Team Rocket Podcast. I'm Jesse. This is James. I'm a moron.
And they already know that.
You know, this is episode 7. And as if to continue all the recording issues. We made it to episode 7. Who knew? As if to continue all the recording issues that we've had prior to this point. Here's our most latest one. Me getting ready to start the recording for our podcast.
Let me pause you right there. Most latest.
Most.
Okay.
I really say most latest?
You did say most latest. So
you know what? I'll probably hear it in the recording, and then I'll want to choke myself for it. Nonetheless.
Choke yourself now. Oh, wait. Man.
So here's me doing the recording. I'm doing our countdown. I'm getting us ready. And then I hit record. I'm like, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Team Rocket Podcast. I'm Jesse. This is James. And then I'm like, James? 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 And I look at my headset, which has like a manual volume button for control and whatnot. And apparently I hit the mute button on my own mic. So I muted myself.
This is a learning moment. Anybody out there that wants to do your own podcast, get legitimate headsets that do not have mute buttons or a separate microphone. Just throwing it out there. Just throwing it out.
God, we are so bush league sometimes. I swear to God.
Rat league in the house, bruh. Rat for life.
Poverty tier for life.
Legit poverty tier. Oh my God. Oh my God.
It's like we playing Killer Instinct over here. We poverty.
Oh my God. Killer Instinct was my jam.
No.
Jago for life.
Oh my Lord.
Cinder wasn't bad.
Actually, I was a big Glacius fan. That was actually who I liked playing as. Glacius was my jam.
Yeah. He countered some. Anyway, we're getting off track. So how's everybody doing out there? I know you can't respond, but if you do, you know what I'm saying? That'd be nice. Just pretend. It's like everyone, like one of those little kids' cartoons, like, what day were you born on?
Oh my God.
That's right! Yeah, one of those type things.
Yeah. Let me tell you something I did watch today. The New England Patriots visiting President Obama at the White House.
I think I like him even less now.
Well, no, Obama took some jokes. He made a Deflategate joke. He said, you know, I usually tell a lot of jokes during these, but I thought 11 of my 12 jokes would fall flat.
Damn.
But I'm
take that.
Joked about Belichick dressing up, said they could cut off his sleeves. You know, they had formal hoodies.
Yeah.
You know what? How dare you make fun of Darth Hoodie, Mr. President? How dare you?
The Darth Hoodie, though. That Darth Hoodie. So, in video game news, we got a renaissance of indie games and JRPGs. Hopefully we'll talk about those in the future, though.
Oh, well, there's actually one indie game I want to cover tonight. I have, a full disclosure to everyone, I have never been a big, I was never a big retro game person. James is the bigger retro guy. However, there is one that when I was on the PSN store, I was looking through games, and I was actually waiting for Hotline Miami 2 to finally open up and come out, and so I could download it and play it and be all giddy about that. And there was one game that really caught my attention while I was looking through this, and it was an indie game called Axiom Verge. And when I looked at it, I was like, you know, this looks like Super Metroid. Now, I was never a big Metroid fan. It wasn't, when it came out on the Super Nintendo as Super Metroid, it wasn't really the kind of game I was into. I think it was actually just, to be honest, I was too dumb for the game.
If you're playing Final Fantasy IV by then, you couldn't have been that dumb.
I mean, I was just...
Living on the game was hard as hell. What am I talking about?
I mean, it was just...
I mean, there are times where, like, I play old games, and I'm like, how did I beat that when I was 8 years old? I don't get it. I can't beat some games now that I can beat when I was like 8.
By the way, as we're all typing this, I'm actually in a TeamSpeak server that will remain nameless. One of our good friends just entered it, and he just sent me a text. He's like, I'm in your TeamSpeak server. I was like, I'm not technically active right now. I'm, you know, being a professional.
If you're being a professional, why are you in TeamSpeak, bruh?
I don't know. Because I'm a scrub, obviously. That's what I'm doing. That's actually what's going on. I'm being a scrub.
Poverty to yeah. Usher being
yeah.
Rat League.
Nonetheless, getting back on track because we diverged very quickly in epic, almost record time there.
Almost.
We... God.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
Use my words, right? Use big words.
Use your words. Use your words, big guy.
Yeah. So, I looked at Axiom Verge. I was really, you know, kind of intrigued by the way the game looked at first. It really did remind me of Super Metroid. More importantly, it reminded me of a lot of the Metroidvania games that, you know, are within that genre, you know, you that were, you know, popularized with Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Yeah.
So I made it a point that when the game came out, I was going to give it a shot. I was going to download it, see what I thought about it, you know, mess around with it, give my impressions of it.
Yeah.
Well, after sitting down and having a chance to play it, I have to say, number one, I really want to go buy a Wii or a Wii U. I want to open up the virtual console, and I want to download Super Metroid, because
should.
This is Axiom Verge is really good. I was very impressed by it. Very, very impressed. The imagery that they use, it has like that... Yeah, it has that 16-bit feel to it, but it's all really clean. You know, you can tell that... For what it is, they're making the most of the options available to them. You can definitely tell that it's definitely a love letter to games like Super Metroid.
Definitely.
The imagery itself, though, has some remnants of like an H.R. Giger art book or some of his works, like with some of the designs of the heads that you'll meet throughout the game. The boss designs are not so much like that. Like, the boss designs are actually like giant golems that, depending on which ones you're fighting, may fly around. They may be on the ground trying to kill you.
Kind of remind me of Mega Man villains, to be totally honest. Like Mega Man or the X series ones.
That's actually not too far off the mark. I would have to agree. One thing that I, again, you know that I'm a sucker for a good soundtrack, and I have to be honest that Axiom Verge has some really good music in it. I mean, it all sounds really crisp, really clean. It's all really just immersive to listen to.
Yeah, it really looks like it flows. It matches the flow of the game and the tone of the game. Like,
oh, yeah.
Design-wise.
That like, being said, and actually to give you all some background on the start of the game, the main thing is you're working in a... You're a researcher in a lab in New Mexico, and it takes place, I want to say, in 2005.
Yeah.
And out of nowhere, there's this lab accident that supposedly kills you.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really kill you. It takes you to this world where Axiom Verge takes place in, and you have to wander around trying to what I think is saving or reviving these heads. And that is one of Axiom Verge's biggest problems, in my opinion. The story is a little...
Yeah.
I don't want to go so far as to say non-existent, but it's a little... it's not clear. It could have been better.
For a second, I thought you were describing Doom. I was like, wait, what? You're in this place, and you get teleported to this weird, almost hell-like dimension, but the game looks amazing. It looks dope.
Yeah. That being said, though,
yeah,
what I really have to compliment the game is on the gameplay itself. The gameplay is spot on. The controls feel extremely precise. They feel on point, very tight, responsive. It plays like a really clean platformer, honestly. There's no points where, you know, I've encountered an enemy. And even when I've been killed, it's never been a case where I've been like, okay, I died because the controls screwed me or because the game betrayed me. If that statement even makes sense. But you know what I mean. Like, when you feel like...
I know what you mean.
Nothing feels cheap.
Yeah, it was a cheap death. Like, the good old 8-bit days where stuff really was just random cheap deaths.
Yeah, this does not feel like it. It feels like you have a great degree of control over what you're doing. I feel like that the 2D lock-on could have been done a little better. The lock-on being for enemies in the area. Basically what it does is it locks you in place and allows you to aim across the 8 cardinal directions.
Yeah. As you should.
Which is good. But I feel like it could have been done cleaner. But it could have also... I've seen it been done a lot worse or not even at all. So I do appreciate the attempt. But on the whole, the controls just feel really good. Like, that is, like, the main thing about this that is a big deal. In fact, if I had to gush over anything, the controls are just top-notch. I would say play it for the gameplay alone.
I mean, that's why you play games for the game. Yeah. Well, it's the... I can honestly say...
There's a lot of reasons that you play games. Look, you can play a variety of games for a variety of reasons. There are things that you'll like more about certain games than others. Xenogears, an RPG that came out on the PS1, graphically is not the prettiest game out there, especially with... there were some graphics issues that were kind of prevalent in the game. They weren't terrible, but the game had phenomenal music. The gameplay that you would use in battles were amazing. The storyline was, well, depending on how you either like it or you don't. I mean, that's Xenogears. Getting back to Axiom Verge, though, I think the gameplay is this game's strongest point, and it's definitely one worth exploring, and I certainly would say that if you loved games like Super Metroid, like Castlevania Symphony of the Night, you're not going to go wrong here. What really amazed me about Axiom Verge, though, and this is being serious, this was developed by one guy. One person is responsible for the entire development of this game, Thomas Hopp. And I'm actually looking on the Axiom Verge page right now, looking up his credentials. He's worked on AAA games, Grey Goo, Tiger Woods, NFL Street. This was a project he started in March of 2010, and it released literally 5 years later, March 31st of 2015. He was responsible alone for the art, code, music, and the game design.
Yeah, I mean, like, just to not really take a break from, not really cut into what you're saying, but you'd be surprised how many games that we grew up with had really small, or even one-person developmental teams. You'd be really surprised. Like, Pokemon originally had, like, four or five.
Are you really serious? What?
Yes, Pokemon, anyway, this is another thing. About it. Pokemon originally was just, it was finished by Satoshi Ujiri. They told him no. And then that's a long story, but originally it was like 12 people at the most, and it was down to 5 at like the least.
If you can, I'd like to see the source on that. That is crazy.
Yeah, but anyway, that's besides the point.
Anyway, the fact that one guy made a game that is really just this impressive, you know, I can't gush about it enough. It's really fun. I feel that if you liked games like Super Metroid, and you have a PS4, you have Steam, and really if you have a PC and you don't have Steam, I don't know what's wrong with you, but I know Axiom Verge is definitely out on PS4. I know it's coming out on Steam on May 14th. Pick it up. Give it a shot. I don't think you're going to be disappointed. I certainly am willing to give it a good review and put my stamp of approval on it. I say go for it.
I mean, I might have to get it now. Like, really. Like, I really do. And I guess that's, like, my turn, I guess. We're going to talk about a game that, oddly enough, is in the same vein as that. Because I'm going to talk about Shovel Knight, which is about the orders of the knights. But basically, I'm going to start by saying... what's up?
I was going to say, this did just also come out on the PSN network as well, I want to say.
I think it did on the PSN network. I got it on some other stuff, so I could take it with me when I travel.
I was going to say, I have never played Shovel Knight. I've heard a lot of good things about it, though.
My God.
There's going to be someone out there that's going to hear this and just be like, why the fuck haven't you played Shovel Knight yet? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Wow, I was going to give you props for only saying it one time, and then you said it right after you said it the first time.
I mean, to be fair, if what I've heard about Shovel Knight is true, I expect that to be the honest reaction.
oh my God, like, it's... I don't want to say the exact same thing you said, but at the same time, it is amazing. First of all, it is also a love letter to the games that we grew up with, specifically Castlevania 3, DuckTales, and the Mega Man series.
Oh, DuckTales. Now that... I was going to say, I had a chance to play the remastered version that they released on PS3 that was a redo of the Nintendo one.
Yeah.
And... You're telling me the Shovel Knight's very similar to that?
And that's, in certain parts, it has some similarities, and you can tell with, like, the, I guess, the way that he moves and some of the things he does, it kind of has some similarities to it, but it slowly starts to go more and more towards, like, Super Ghouls and Ghosts in Castlevania, the deeper in the game you go. Like, seriously, like, it starts off, there's certain areas where my only complaint was some of the overall flow of the game gets broken up because you're in, like, these, like, bright, outdoorsy areas.
Yeah.
And then you go into a Castlevania-like area. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But other than that, like, it controls very, 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 very solid. The bosses are a lot of fun. And to be fair, there's also even some exclusivity depending on which console you play it on, which kind of makes me mad. So I didn't know about this until earlier. Like the Xbox version, guess what? Battletoads.
Oh no.
PlayStation version, Kratos from God of War. So there's like different things for like, so there's a little bit of flavor that way. But again, there's like everything you'd want, every like, bro, that's the one weird thing about these games is we talked about it a little bit earlier. It kind of can get to a point where it becomes too much of a love letter to something else and out of its own thing.
Yeah.
But Shovel Knight does not get to that point. It's enough of its own game where you're like, oh, this is cool. I remember when I was little. And then as soon as you get kind of comfortable, it throws something new at you. The exploration is fun. Like I said, the character designs are amazing. Especially because, like, again, you're taking what you would think could create something in full 3D with like full-time lighting effects. And I really like the remakes are like retro games that are new or new games based off retro designs is they look so amazing. Like it makes use of every available color you have while at the same time giving you the aesthetic of an older game, which is my main thing, is more so than anything else, are the graphics of said game.
I like how actually a lot of these games nowadays, and Axiom Verge was certainly doing this, like they replicate a lot of the feel of the 8-bit slash 16-bit games for better and for worse, and try to actually utilize it to play off that nostalgia factor, or in even some cases, like make it an honest to God game mechanic.
Yeah, that's one of the things that this does in spades. It's like, how can I put it? Some of the interactions with you and other, I guess I want to say not NPCs or enemies, I guess. There's some where you think it's collision detection until you get used to the way that the game works.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's some collision detection. I was like, no, it's actually him using his shovel to parry more so than it just bouncing off of his shovel. And it takes you a second. Again, you have to. You heard in that review I watched earlier, like from muscle memory, you're like, oh crap, I'm about to take damage. And the damage doesn't happen, it's like, oh my god, I have time to think. So there are those cheap deaths where you're like, Sonic was notorious. You're running, 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 running. Screen pulls into screen two, bam, you hit something, you lose all your rings or you die. This one's like, oh, deflect, awesome, I get time to react. And you go on from there. The story in this one, actually, there is a story. And I think that's one of the only things I didn't like about it was actually the story was a little too deep for me, which is weird, which is really weird.
Yeah.
Not really. It was actually pretty well done. Like, I don't want to give anything away, but it's kind of like a take on the Knights of the Round. And they're all you're a knight. There's King Knight, Spectre Knight, Treasure Knight, Mole Knight, Plague Knight, Polar Knight, Propeller Knight, Tinker Knight. And then Shovel
What?
Knight. Yes, shit you not. They're all knights. And then King Knight, obviously, is in
King
charge.
Knight,
King
dun
Knight.
dun 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 dun.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really crazy thing. And, like, you're going up a tower is another part of it. And it's.
This
It.
is almost sound. This is almost sounding kind of Mega Man-esque in a way.
It takes a lot of reference from Mega Man. Like, it really does. It's like one of the things where instead of trying to reinvent the wheel, it just made something cooler for the wheel to go on. And again, it doesn't ever become Mega Man, Mega Man. Because again, even Mega Man draws from the King Arthur thing too. But it's a really cool game. I think if you don't have it, you should at least give it a shot. It is on everything. Literally, same as
Final Fantasy IV.
Final Fantasy Fantasy Axiom, right?
Axiom Verge, from what I understand, is on PSN right now. It should be on Steam May 14th.
Yeah, so this one is on Windows, aka Steam, the 3DS, and the Wii U. It's
And
also
PSN.
PSN, OS X, it's on everything. Anything you want to play it on. And if you don't have it, give it a shot. It's worth the $14.99. I would play it. I'd buy it again if I didn't have it, but I do. But I do. There's only one more thing we need to talk about, and it's something we're going to try. It's kind of new, and
What's
hopefully, news.
that?
game news. So you had the story you wanted to tell them about real quick.
There is actually something that I did want to discuss. I'm big on video games news, and in particular the journalistic aspect, reviewing, you know, giving my opinions of things. It's part of the reason we started this podcast.
Yeah.
There was a news that popped up, or a news article rather, that popped up on Kotaku several days ago.
Yeah.
The reviewer, Total Biscuit, YouTube personality, very great British accent, can't stress that enough, by the way, was covering a game called Titan Souls, which, by the way, has also just popped up on PSN. I have not played it, so I cannot go one way or the other on it. However, this is where it becomes prevalent. So Total Biscuit starts to play it and immediately goes on his Twitter and puts up a statement saying that, more or less saying that this game isn't for him. The idea of a boss rush game does not appeal.
Yeah, which he has every right to say.
Nothing wrong with that. That's his opinion. You know, that's certainly his preferences as a gamer.
Yeah.
I want to say that one of the artists behind Titan Souls got wind of this and responded with a tweet that stated to the effect of, "Toilet Biscuit doesn't like my game. Best day ever." And then took a photo of said tweet and put it on his fridge and took a photo of it.
That's scumly.
In response, Total Biscuit, taking issue with the whole thing and realizing, or coming to the belief that someone he felt was out to get him, or, you know, did not personally like him, he felt that that knowledge would personally skew his review of Titan Souls. So he recused himself from the review. Said, "I'm not going to cover this game anymore. You know, this is why." And recused himself from it. Cue a long string of Kotaku comments going one way or the other, basically in support or against him doing it. Yeah. Some of the reasons against it was like, look, you're a professional, you're going to get comments like these. You should be willing to say, hey, look, this is my job. I have to cover this game honestly, fairly, without bias, whether these people like me or not. On the other hand, and the Kotaku article was very good to point this out, Total Biscuit's one guy.
Yeah.
He has based his entire reputation on trying to be objective and right down the line as you can get with a game. And he felt that there was something that would, you know, give him a bias when reviewing this game. Something that would, you know, make him sit there and be like, well, now that I know this, should I be favorable to this game to try and make amends? Should I be extra harsh on it? Because someone clearly doesn't like me, or at least has something against me. Rather than do all that, he made what he felt was the professional decision. He said, "I cannot fairly review this game anymore."
Yeah, you can't at that point. In my opinion, you couldn't.
You know what? I'm inclined to agree. When you have something that you feel makes it personally impossible for you to give something a fair and balanced opinion. Yeah, I know, fair and balanced, Fox News. I feel like there's a joke there that's just waiting to happen.
I decided not to make it, so you're
right. But, you know, it is true. And there's something there that affects your ability to look at a game through objective lenses, where you feel like either you have to give it a really positive slant or you have to just straight out take a dump on it.
Yeah.
You've got a problem. You can no longer adequately do your job. If you and I were reviewing it, like, okay, here's full disclosure. I am not a fan of NetherRealm Studios. I'm not a fan of their games. I'm not a fan of Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
An episode back when Mortal Kombat was having fucking issues with their internet multiplayer.
Poor guys. Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I took a secret joy in that. I can't lie about that. Part of me was like,
that's because you have no soul. But anyway.
Yes, Shang Tsung stole it a long time ago. Bastard.
Yeah.
What it really comes down to, and I mean, all that's being petty, but look, here's the truth. The last NetherRealms game that I have particularly played was Injustice, Gods Among Us. As for the story mode, the story was good. I was actually really impressed by the story of that game.
Yeah.
But the gameplay felt the same as every other NetherRealm Studios fighter I've played. Really stiff, really clunky, somewhat unresponsive. Just, it never felt fluid. And this has been in enough NetherRealm's fighting games. Mortal Kombat 9, you know, you can go back as far into the earlier Mortal Kombats. Mortal Kombat 1, 2, 3. I think actually, in my opinion, 3 was the one that felt the smoothest, and I'm not even sure I can say that with honesty, to be quite honest with you. As a fighting game, it just never felt right with me, and I've never felt that way about any other fighting game. Obviously, I love Street Fighter. Street Fighter has always felt perfect to me. King of Fighters feels clean. Marvel vs. Capcom 2 and 3 felt reasonably clean enough. The Guilty Gear X2 and Guilty Gear Xrd, when I played them, felt relatively smooth and responsive. Even Smash, which to me feels like you're in like a little roadster on ice, still, you feel like it's more responsive. I'm not a fan of a NetherRealms fighting game. I cannot give... And I have come to the realization that that's just how they develop their games. This is not any longer, you know, one or two games. This is just their style of play. I cannot adequately review a NetherRealms fighting game. I cannot do it. I cannot do it without any measure of bias. I can't do it without any... I can't give those games a clean opinion. Because the very second one of them feels like the other, I'm going to have issue with it. In fact, I have not picked up Mortal Kombat 10, full disclosure. I have seen video of it, but it does not look like it performs any differently than Injustice did. It has the same stiff approach, same stiff appearance. I don't want to play it.
Ow. Yeah.
And for that reason, while... Since we are running a podcast, there is a certain degree of professionalism that is expected from me. I have to be frank and say that it is not fair for me to sit here and kind of be a little giddy when a game bombs or has failures. That's not right.
No, it's not.
It's not. And I'll own up to that.
Say now or never get anything.
No, but I mean, this is me being clean about it.
I was making a joke like nobody's ever... They're never going to send us anything free now. She's like, this sucks!
To be honest, I don't want anything NetherRealms is offering. I'll be
not
frank,
anybody, not just them. Didn't think about that, did you?
I don't think about a lot of things. We didn't think about what we were going to do on our first podcast episode. We just went for it.
Never mind. Anyway. So yeah, I mean, like, there's a difference between like having a problem with the gameplay and having a personal issue with somebody. That's really where you have to draw the line. It's like, well...
Wait, like again... Going to the Mortal Kombat example, I have nothing against Ed Boon. I have nothing against the people at NetherRealm Studios and the games they make. I just don't like them. I don't like the way they feel.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's a slight difference. Like, maybe, just maybe you play it and it'd be that one that's like, oh, this one's actually fun. But at that point, you have to do it as your own personal thing and then, like, round the bend and come back and review it, not begin it, have it sprung upon you. But, yeah.
Nonetheless, I don't feel like I could give a game like Mortal Kombat 10 a fair review. I just don't think I can do it. And for that reason, you will never see me review it. Not because...
Snack?
For all I know, Mortal Kombat 10 might have really clean gameplay and might have a great story. And from what I've heard, it does have a good story.
After they killed Liu Kang, I gave up on that series. I didn't care.
Yeah.
No care.
But the point is, I can't look at that game objectively. I just cannot do it. And... You know, I feel when you're in that kind of a situation, you do have an obligation to admit that and either admit it up front and say, look, I can't be completely objective with this game. Take this review with for what it's worth. Or you have to recuse yourself. You have to say, I can't do this. Total Biscuit, in my opinion, did the right thing. He did what a professional should do, especially a professional in his position where he's the only one in control of his name and his reputation.
Yeah, you tell and, me. Your ass online. You have to relax. Yeah. You're about to shoot yourself in the foot.
Yes. Kotaku has several different reviewers and editors under their name who can, if one person doesn't feel particularly adequate to handle one field, they can have someone else do it. Yeah. There are multiple people on quote unquote payroll that can do that. Toilet Biscuit. Wow. And
I can't believe I was about to say.
Our apologies, Total Biscuit. Our bad. Total Biscuit does not have that same luxury.
No, sadly he doesn't.
No, and I mean, but, you know, he's honest enough to admit it. He's willing to say, I can't do this. I feel like the integrity here has been compromised. I'm backing off. I have to respect that. And I can't fault him for doing it. And you know what? I honestly feel like a lot of developers should, or next developers, wow, reviewers should strive for that.
Really, like, there are so many times where something can influence your mood and you have to give an opinion on it that you really should just back away from it because you're not going to want to be...
Oh my god. I would feel bad for anyone that had to review GTA 5 when it came out on PC and it had all the issues that it did getting out there. Because by the end of that, if that game... If literally knowing GTA, if the game didn't immediately greet you with a prostitute right at the car door ready to just do whatever you wished, I could see a lot of people just be like, we're done with this game.
They did kind of redeem itself in a way, because it gave you bonus stuff if you pre-ordered for the PC for GTA Online. It was like the only upside.
Yeah.
But even still, like, I understand why it took so long, because they didn't want any foul-ups or anything. They didn't want too many exploitable bugs in it. But at the same time, you have to think that if so many people pre-ordered it, you'd have to kind of, at one point, cut your losses. Like, do what Blizzard does. Release the game broken. Like, they released the game with, like, the last part of the beta, right? It's almost 100% done. They throw in, like, patches, and as you play games like that, then as you're downloading the game comes with patches to fix day one patches. As soon as you get the game, we're fixing everything that's broken.
See, that's another story for the record. That is another thing that we could get into, that we could just...
Yeah, it's one of my pet peeves, but at the same time, at least they're trying to fix the problem. I'll give them that.
Like, grant you, the game at this day and age. Well,
no.
You know, I would say at this day and age, games should come out clean, but the truth is that implies that the games that came out in our previous generation weren't bugged. And those games that were on cartridges, you couldn't just patch them. They were stuck that way.
I mean, think of it this way. That's why we had Sonic and Knuckles and Sonic 3 in the same years, because we want to have this completely immersive thing that sews up the Deus Ex Saga is one thing. Oh, crap. This has a bug, and we need to release it now. Okay, we'll release it. It's two separate games, and release them within 6 months of each other. Bam! Problem solved! Like, you could do that, and hopefully people will be okay with it, or they won't notice the exploits or anything in it. But man, I applaud him for doing that. And there's a couple other things I forgot to mention, if you're not done with this, that has made me laugh. Just thought about it. The thing that reminded me of DuckTales is in Shovel Knight. If you jump and use the shovel thing,
the pogo stick.
Yes, he pogo hops, just like
Scrooge. Scrooge, just like Scrooge McDuck does with his cane.
Yes, like there are so many cool things that like for it took. It's like how does the saying go? Good authors borrow,
great authors steal.
Yeah, like it takes. Every little bit of everything you like throws it in the pot, and then it comes out to be its own thing.
But, I mean, that's always it's so easy to borrow those elements and put them together, and it can come out kind of okay. When they say great authors steal, they steal it right down to the core.
Yeah.
Right down to what makes it work. That is one of the things that I've always – I'm not a big World of Warcraft fan, but I have to give that game props when it came out at its time and what it developed into. They knew who to steal from in the MMO market at that time. Yeah. They knew, and they knew what to steal and how to steal it and how to put their little shine on it to make it perfect.
Yeah, I mean, and that goes back to these variant games where you take the best parts of the game and you cut out everything you don't like and you put in all the cool fan servicey stuff to you and your friends. Like, that'd be like if me and you made a fighting game like I've been talking about I want to do. It would be part Street Fighter. Actually, I thought about it earlier. It'd be a scaled-down version. It'd be like a hybrid of Street Fighter and Smash Bros. To the point where you fought on a flat 2D plane like Street Fighter, right? But the button inputs will be almost the exact same for every character, but they did different things, like a Smash Brothers. Every character move input is the exact same, but per character, they're all unique.
Well, you know, there's a rumor going around that Ryu could be one of the new characters in Smash, so...
At this point, I hate to say it, but since I played with Mega Man, it would just more or less be a Mega Man skin because his air burst would be a Hadouken, and he already does the Shoryuken as an uppercut.
Well, I mean, I don't want to discuss what Ryu's potential Smash moveset would be when he's not even in it, so let's not go there.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Just like his forward B would be the Hadouken, just like the Buster shot is. His up B would be the Shoryuken, just like Mega Man. So it's like, what?
Yeah.
What? Why would you do this now? You might as well just make him alternate. Actually, it would be cool to have, like, a Capcom skin of Mega Man that turns him into Ryu. I would be totally fine with that. You have no clue. I would be completely fine with that.
Honestly, I would want Ryu in the game as a clean character. because I feel like he is one of the proverbial OGs of fighting games.
He is.
And the fact that he... I would want him to be put into a game like Smash as is on his own.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, they kind of shot themselves in the foot by giving Mega Man the Shoryuken. It's like, let's give him the Tatsumaki. And even still, that'd be kind of problematic.
Tatsumaki Senpu Kyaku?
Make it like in Capcom vs. SNK where it stays one spot and spins.
Yeah.
That'd be dope.
Oh, God. Well, James, this feels like it was kind of a short episode so far. Is there anything you'd like to add?
Besides that, there is one thing I like to add as an addendum to the Survivor Horror one. And I want to do it. I want to do it as a Let's Play. It would be amazing. I forgot the most influential, like, hands down, the actual reason I bought an Xbox 360.
Yes.
It was one of the best survival horror games ever made since Silent Hill 2. I swear.
And that was?
Condemned Criminal Origins. It is amazing.
Well, you know, there is always the possibility for you to do an expansion pack.
I thought about doing that. I was like, oh, man, I completely forgot about that because I was going through my... If anybody, Jesse knows me. Jesse knows that I have these massive CD wallets that are full of video games, right?
Yeah.
I was going through the Xbox 360 one, and yes, I have one just for the Xbox 360. I have too much money and not enough stuff to buy besides video games. And I was like moving video games around. I was like, oh, some of these are in the same sleeve. I pulled it out, it was in the back, and I was like, how did I forget about this?
Well, you know, another one you also have could be Alan Wake, which
I was going to say, Alan Wake is the other one I forgot, which I loved Alan Wake. He was the best Silent Hill ever.
And then there's not to mention, if you really want to go into OG territory on the PC, you had the Alone in the Dark games.
Yeah. Alone in the Dark.
I mean, the truth is, that genre has a lot of games that are really untouched. Some very old, some...
Clock Tower. Recent.
Oh, Clock Tower. Good God.
Fatal Frame, which actually was really cool. Like, bro, there are so many, but I try to, like, just pick the ones that were the most influential that everybody knows. Because thanks to the movies, everybody knows Resident Evil and Silent Hill now, if you didn't before.
Yeah.
And then, also, Five Nights at Freddy's is getting a movie.
Oh, God. Oh, no. All right.
If I thought I wasn't going to sleep before, I'm definitely not sleeping now.
Well. Oh, my God. Animatronics, Lord Almighty. We don't... All right. With that being said, actually, something that did occur to me. This Sunday, I want to say, is WWE Extreme Rules.
It is. You want to do another episode of that? But
I'm not. Ladies and gentlemen, I think you could look forward to us on Sunday doing another episode 7.5, another wrestling episode.
Yes, another one. Another one. Wrestling.
All our video game fans are like, God damn it, not another one.
No, we'll figure out something else too, throw it in there. It'd be like another, yeah, it'd be 0.5. We'll do a review of that, and then we'll talk about some other stuff we didn't get a chance to get into today, because I know it's something we forgot.
Yep.
Totally
well,
something.
Well, nonetheless, we will see you all, if certainly not on Sunday, certainly sometime between next Tuesday and next Thursday. By the way, is there a possibility we may have an interview on the horizon?
Yes, tune in for May 5th. We're going to be interviewing Two Scoop Games, which is going to be a true test of our rat league-ness and what we can do to make this not... sound like, you know, a complete
Bush League operation.
Yeah. We'll try not to make ourselves
that is the team behind Stanley Squeaks and the Emerald Burrito, is it not?
Yes, it is. Play it. Like, for real, look that up and play it, or we will have a problem.
We'll provide a link within the podcast description, as well as with the offending YouTube article, or Kotaku article. YouTube, wow. Wow.
YouTube writes things, though. Man,
he does write things.
I learned something.
We'll show you. We will link you to the Kotaku article regarding Total Biscuit. We will definitely link you to Axiom Verge's website. Again, check that game out.
Most definitely. Also, I'm going to go ahead and try it. We'll say, since we're going to have another episode next week as well, let's say next Friday will be the first ever. Well, I'm going to try to. Hopefully you'll be off. Do you work next Friday? Please tell me you don't work next Friday.
I do work next Friday.
It's so... I don't care. Next Friday.
This is stuff we should be discussing off mic.
No. I promise. This is legit. Whether he's there or not, which sadly he might not be there, I'm going to try to do a live stream of me playing my favorite game ever and answering some silly questions. You know what game that is?
No.
Sonic 2.
Sonic 2.
Sonic 2 live stream as a test. It's more of this as a test stream. If you want to come hang out, please do it. Twitch.tv/YoungJameis. And then eventually it's going to be the Team Rocket one once I get it working again.
If nothing else, I do like, again, I myself like to stream on occasion. That is twitch.tv/JesseUno. You can also follow us both on Twitter. Again, same usernames, YoungJameis for James, JesseUno for me.
That's right.
Otherwise, ladies and gentlemen, this has been episode 7 of the Team Rocket Podcast.
Pause. I've been saying episode 6. Not even gonna lie, I can't count.
This is episode 7.
Apparently I'm stupid.
This is episode 7 of the Team Rocket Podcast. I'm Jesse. This is James.
I can't count, I'm sorry.
And we are blasting off again. Have a good night, ladies and gentlemen.
You sound so deflated.
Just like 11 of those 12 Patriots footballs.
Good game.